I like history. I like archaeology. I like all that stuff, and it's amazing to see what's going on in the Holy Land. The more things that they're finding to verify the gospel and to verify the things that took place that we now have by faith. And I don't know if you're ever paying any attention to a fossil, but fossils are very interesting. And when things around us that are changing so fast, sometimes you can feel like a fossil, and you might not be over 30 years old. But for those of us who maybe haven't seen a fossil or a fossil record in a stone, this is something that I found out that happens, and I'm not an expert by no means. But when the earth or the resin or the tar around it is soft and pliable, usually watery or mucky or sticky things, and maybe a fern or a flower, more important, a footprint, or a fish, they find in shells in the Grand Canyon. So it kind of makes you wonder, well, yeah, if there was a flood, that makes sense. They're finding these fossils out there now, but I digress. But sometimes, over time, the mud and the clay gets covered with layers of sediment, and then it hardens into a rock, imprinting with it the leaf, the flower, the bones, the fish, or the shell. So in a sense, this fern, or the imprint of a fern, or a foot, or something, becomes immortalized in stone throughout time. Minerals, carbon, asphalt, amber, freezing, simply mummification. There are many ways which take place with this organic material, and it becomes imprinted within the stone. So these stones tell us a story, and places unknown to us maybe for many years or looking back into history. Stones are not just impedance to discard. Stones are stories, and each story holds a story within it. Sentimental or not, stone stories that add layer of meaning, and the longer they endure, these stories continue to bear life within them and throughout generation and generation. So my title is Stones Make the Best Witness. The angel in our resurrection story today that I share rolled away the stone from the sealed tomb with rolling thunder. But, I love the buts and the ifs, but the angel does not discard the stone or hurl it into the heavens or smash it to smithereens. No, the angel set upon it. The stone reveals that something spectacular had happened, that God needs the guards and the women. Thank God for the women of the church, because the women's been important in Jesus' ministry all the way back. So thank God for the women of the church that's been keeping the church together these many years while us men were out doing whatever we do. But everybody's now coming back to the church, and we're so grateful. Something spectacular happened. Then the disciples all to see the empty tomb. But more than that, witness to the resurrection story. Jesus' victory is life. So the story of the resurrection is revealed in the moving of that stone, and in God's quest to save all people, God leaves no stone unturned. The story of God's salvation, it's etched into the stone, revealed in a stone, and witnessed by all that the stones on the earth, and there's a lot of stones around. All of the earth tells the story of God's goodness and glory. It says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Jesus the Son, like God the Father, creator, craftsman. Jesus was a carpenter, so he had those gifts. An artist of stone, similar to Diane with her painting. Stones, these gifts, who can write a stone story of salvation with one finger, and who created humankind with the works of his holy hand. You know, God wrote with his finger the Ten Commandments in stone. And the angel sets upon that stone, which is a part of our salvation. With God's victory of resurrection, Jesus transformed a stone to witness, to seal the foundation, the tomb or the holy sepulcher. With his salvation, he has transformed the hardened hearts of unbelievers and made them witnesses to God's glory. Faith is born from the hands of the divine sculpture. I tell this story, and I told it, but it's part of my faith story when I did my testimony. It's kind of a cute story, It's like a paradox because it really did happen. My name, last name is Wrightstone, but my name used to be Lestone. And then I met Jesus Christ, who was the chief cornerstone. He changed my heart and gave me a new name, and I became the Wrightstone. Now, a little later, we're going to look at the book of Revelation where God said he's going to give us a new name. He's going to give us a white stone. Not right stone, but a white stone. So I have prepared for you some white stones at the end of the message. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, I being God, will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So God is just not creator. He is an architect. He is a builder. God just didn't create us from clay and mud and leave us to our own devices. No, God is a healer who removes piercing stones from a hardened heart and restores us to flesh and blood in our own resurrection moment. God's an archaeologist who removes the sediments from our aching hearts, the stories of sin and doubt and shame, and releases our lives from the heaviness of death to live and to witness the lightness of God's grace and glory. You see, God's a sculptor who creates us from stone, a stone slab, solidified by the mud that lives and the new tenderness and the beauty with God's ever-powerful hand, molding us and reforming us in his mercy and grace. God, the Creator, sees the child within us that God the Father made with his own hands. You see, we never really grow up. We're childlike for all of our life because we're children of God. And Scripture, too, is made from stone, given new life, new form, new grace. I like the story of Michelangelo, and he created a statue of David. And it's real life size, and it's carved out of a single big piece of stone or rock or marble. I think it's marble. And he said, when asked how he did it, he said something like this. He said, I just kept chipping away at that stone until I saw King David, and I stopped. That's pretty cool. That's the thing with our life. God's always chipping away at all the stuff we don't need, and then we have, at the end, life, where you have it more abundantly. Now, Michelangelo said something about sculpting, which changes maybe perhaps if we even look at stones. He said, every block of stone has a statue inside of it, and it's the task of the sculptor to discover it. In the case of his own sculpture of an angel, Michelangelo said, I saw the angel in that marble and I kept carving until I set that angel free. It's amazing. To God, the artist, the divine sculptor, who created humans from clay and mud and water and sculptured us into a divine image and who breathed life within us. And we already now are beautiful and we are full of life. But, I like the buts and the ifs, but sometimes our hearts become hardened as stone. And we become enslaved or ensconced into our own prison sometimes. And it's up to God to chip away at our sins, to break through the walls, to recreate us, to reform us, so that we can be released again from our own bondage, bondage of our own making, and brought back into the glorious and magnificent life that we have. That's the gift of Jesus, the gift of resurrection. Jesus frees us from our captivity and formless and meaningless existence and restores us to true life, the true authenticity, and more importantly, true beauty. So Jesus is our creator. He's our builder. He's our architect. He's our divine sculpture. And he specializes in stone masonry. He removes the stones that inhibit us, the calcification of our heart, which makes it hard, the hardening of our life, and he releases from within us that which is as beautiful as the day we were created. Jesus, with his gift of resurrection, releases us to our own inherited livingness, if that is a word. Stones are not just impedance. Stones can be the artist's joy. ready to be remolded and shaped and reformed. Stones can be a witness to the glory of God's creativity, revealing something even within the story that was set in stone. What's greater than a story set in stone? A life set free. For all y'all, every one of us are living stones, and what is hidden will soon be revealed. So when Jesus spoke to his disciples in the week before his crucifixion, he told them that the great temple in Jerusalem would someday fall, but within 3 days he would raise up God's temple in a very new way. Now Jesus was speaking about his resurrection, and for each of his disciples would become living stones fitted upon the foundation of Jesus, living witnesses in the Jesus way. The way, the truth, and the life, tellers of God's story, and faithful followers of his covenant. So in a sense, when that stone was rolled away, it's a symbol of God's foundation stone. The Messiah stone, the Jesus stone, the resurrection stone, the victory, the story of that victory is God's resurrection story. And will serve as that foundation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the church is a witness. It's a witness to all of the living stones. You and I who continue to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love and to celebrate the story of the resurrection. God's eternal victory. And we hold a faith within us that can move mountains of rock, a faith of resurrection power for God. For when God moved the sealed boulder from the mouth of that tomb, God released Jesus from the clutches of death. The old devil thought he had him. He said, I got that old boy over there in that grave and the stone rolled in. That's the end of that. I won't have no more trouble with him. If you remember the story back in Luke when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and the devil kept trying to get at him to deny who he was and what he was called to do. But he couldn't do it. So at the end, he gave up. But he said to Jesus, I give up for now, Jesus, but I'll be back. And he's been out in the world messing with us ever since. But we have the victory because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's no mistake that the angel moved that stone in the presence of the guards. The Roman guards were there, not the disciples, but Roman. No, not the Romans, not the Jews, but not even the Gentiles, because with the moving of that stone, God declares that all the nations will be one people, all invited to the tablet of the Lord. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for all. It don't matter where you are in this world, no matter what you've done, he has died for all. He is the church of the living God, and for all people. That's why he came and died. So it doesn't matter what part of the world you live in, no matter what you've done, he died and was resurrected for you. Surely the guard said, hey, this must be the Son of God at the moment of the crucifixion. Surely we have seen God, he said. And the stone, as Moah talked about, the father of Samson, as he sacrificed to God on an altar of stone. The stone of death had become the stone of witness. The tomb of death had become God's story of life. For we are the church, we are the living stones of the resurrection, and the witness in the greatest moment in history, God's resurrection miracle. Jesus is alive, and he is risen. And he is the story of salvation. He saved us from what? He saved us from eternal damnation, because we were going to spend life eternal somewhere. And the choice was ours, and he set the path for us. And he removed all the stumbling blocks because he paid the price. Have you ever tried to block him in your life? I think all of us at times have. Resurrection says that God seeks and finds your beauty no matter what barriers that you have in place. Think about it. Have you sealed your soul in some tomb or shelter? Resurrection said, no, God sets you free no matter how deep your soul is hidden in that formless heart of stone. Easter, that's a worldly term, but it represents what we're talking about But it's really the resurrection story. This is Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week. But the world calls it Easter, and it's okay because we're given that message. And the releasing of all the living stones means that every one of you and me to be God's temple in the world. Did you know you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? That temple that was destroyed was a physical temple. But we are a temple of God. And Easter is all about releasing the living stones. The God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by human hands. No! He lives in your heart. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? You can find that in 1 Corinthians 3:16. So the resurrection story, God leaves no stone unturned to unleash and release your life. Easter is more and more nor less than faith in moving. Or, more importantly, removing the block, removing the stones. Christ is risen. Easter is the hinge of history to the point where the world said to love and life and then drop dead. No. But God said something else. God did something else. In the original drop the mic moment, God did something else. Speakers, especially motivational speakers and different things, and they got to think, and I don't have a microphone up here I can drop, and I don't want to do that. Anyhow, it makes a lot of noise. But they're trying to make a point, and they're preaching, or whatever they're doing, and then they take the microphone and they just drop it to emphasize the point. God did resurrection. God did life. So put off the garment of mourning and God's tethered and in gathering. Let him fill your life. Peter is rescued. I was rescued. And you who call Jesus Lord has also been rescued.